Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Ashley, good afternoon to you.
Zama, how are you, my man?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Hanging in there one day at a time.
Hanging in there,
too.
Yeah, I'm
and
good
the listeners
too.
As well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm doing well, man. I just keep forgetting that it's getting cooler and cooler these days. And I've not yet put on my, jackets or anything yet. And I think I need to start doing that because I think it's getting cooler. I must realize that.
Yeah, you must. And there's, I think there's a cold going around as well, man.
Yeah.
So just make sure we're cool. We need you.
I have to. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ashley Circle there. Now, Ashley, we're talking about squatters' right, and many people believe that squatters have a legal right to occupy a property indefinitely. And, this may have resulted from the hype created by the media around how difficult it can be to evict squatters. What are the facts around this situation, and what are the myths around it? This is what we're actually going to be uncovering by the end of this conversation.
Sir.
Now, Ashley, who is legally recognized as a squatter?
Look, anybody that goes up and sets up an informal settlement, usually like in their huge numbers on a vacant piece of land, and it's often a piece of land that has no access to basic human rights, such as the supply of water, electricity, and things of that nature, then that's a squatter. And who, and usually a squatter would be somebody that erects a dwelling or shelter that does not meet the basic standards, of what a shelter should look like, what we would know as imkhukhu or, or shacks, in the English language. Yeah.
Now, we're quite interesting, actually. Now, let's move from a squatter to a tenant. Can a tenant who stops paying rent be called a squatter?
No, I suppose if you want to give them a derogatory term, because nobody really wants to be called a squatter. And you've seen that term usually used, sometimes used to refer to tenants that have stopped paying rent, and then they start calling them squatters because, it carries that negative connotation that is usually associated with somebody that is that we earlier defined, we're defining what a true squatter is. So, and you must just keep in mind as well, that the word squatter can change, with time and, who you want to define at a given point in time. But strictly speaking, I wouldn't. I would maybe call them an illegal occupier or something like that, something that could also apply to squatters if you came to think about it.
Exactly. Actually, same meaning, really. Now, what are the rights that are afforded to squatters? I didn't even know they had rights, but let's hear.
Zama, everybody has rights. You must always remember that. As long as you're a human being and you're walking on the face of this planet, particularly within the borders of our country, you are always going to have rights.
Okay.
Constitutional rights, for that matter, as set out in Chapter 2 of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
To understand the rights that squatters or illegal occupiers have, one needs to consider this thing historically. Go to pre-apartheid, pre-democracy, before we broke free from the bondage of apartheid, where black people were essentially treated as squatters. We couldn't have proper dwellings. We were forced into tiny spaces and things of that nature. And whenever, we tried to occupy certain places, we would be chucked out of those places in an undignified manner. So what the legislature had to do, to circumvent that and try to preserve the dignity, firstly, of black people who were at the receiving end of this, and then just people in general, being everyone that's defined in the Constitution, they devised a piece of legislation, which is known as PI in short. But the idea behind PI is to prevent what they call the illegal eviction of people that are occupying any place, be it at a squatter camp, be it in your nice residential apartment. But in the long and short of the legislation is that you are not allowed to evict somebody, right? As long as that person is in occupation, whether it's your private residential property that you're renting out to them or it's your piece of land that they've now taken over, you are not allowed by the law. Then the law prevents you from evicting them in the absence of a court order. So you must first obtain a court order before you can get those people out.
Hang on, Ashley. Somebody occupies my land illegally, and I'm told that I cannot illegally evict the person.
Crazy. And you talk about, and these are the discussion that investors are having. That's why you and I are probably having this discussion now on radio as a point for discussion, because that's where you're seated. I've got, and some of them do not necessarily start off illegally. You would have someone that you enter into an agreement with at arm's length, and they are paying rent, and then they suddenly stop paying rent. The law does not allow you to get them out in the absence of a court order, unless if you agree, you know, and you guys amicably then agree that you're going to move out month end. So you often see these things where people say, I'm going to send you a notice that you must leave my place because you have not paid rent for the past 2 months or whatever the case may be. Those things have no force at all, legally speaking. If that person decided to stay post those 30 days, you cannot just go and chuck them out. You cannot cut off their electricity. You cannot cut off their water supply. You cannot go and change the locks. Because if they are legally clued up and they have lawyers to represent them, they can take you to court for what is known as an act of spoliation. This is a fancy Latin word for an act of taking the law into your own hands and evicting me without first having obtained a court order. And you can be on the receiving end. You know, I've been involved in such matters where, you know, whereas the person was owing you and you decided to take the law into your own hands, they sue you, and after they sue you, you are in it. You know, you incur, it's a costly application that can set you back a good 60,000-70,000 rand. And they were initially owing you 10,000 rand. Now they take you to court. You are now suddenly owing them because the court makes a cost order against you. Now you're owing them 70K. And that's the unfortunate position that most landowners are facing in South Africa.
Crazy, man, crazy. Now, what are the rights then that are afforded to landowners, you know, regarding squatters?
They're very limited. You know, there's not much of rights. It's a, currently, South Africa is ranked as one of those terrible places to invest in because of the high risks that come with a failure to get a proper tenant that will then subject you to these things. Because the best that you can do is to contract these estate managers, or what do you call these people that go and that find people for you?
Estate agents.
Estate agents, yes, estate agents. So you have to find estate agents who will be able to do a proper due diligence on who your prospective tenants are going to be, or if you have a piece of land that is vacant which can be susceptible to being to becoming occupied by illegal dwellers, also known as squatters. You then end up finding yourself investing in security companies and security equipment to try and safeguard your land. Because unfortunately, once they occupy and that occupation is certain, you're stuck. You're really stuck. I live at a place, you know, where I reside. We've got a squatter camp that mushroomed. It started off just a bit, and to get rid of that squatter camp now is close to impossible. You travel to all these different places, four ways. You've got squatters next day. You drive along the freeway, and you wonder, why can't the Johannesburg Metro Police just go and take these people off? Because the law puts processes in place that make it extremely difficult for them to just simply go and remove them. So the rights of landowners and the rights of landlords are rather limited, if I were to say. I cannot think, you know, there is nothing that would allow them to circumvent the legal processes and get them out in the absence of a court order.
My goodness. It's actually, you know, it's like I'm listening to a horror story, because, I mean, the people get into investing in these places because they must get a return out of their land, out of their property, etc. And now somebody just hijacks it, as it were, because I mean, this is hijacking it. And literally, there's not very much, you know, in your disposal to actually deal with this. My goodness. Now,
And I'm saying you take a drive down to the Johannesburg CBD areas like Berea, Hillbrow, Kensington, and whatnot, you know, which are the places that are most often affected by building hijackings. And if you study the cases around that and the fights that political parties and other stakeholders and landowners are having, you know, they're fighting with these NGOs because the NGOs are actually going in there and telling those people that are illegal occupants that, hey, by the way, you've got rights and you may not know what your rights are, but we are here to protect and preserve your rights. And they've become enemies to investors because they make known these rights, which everybody must know their rights, to the landlord's demise or an unfortunate position. I've got a client who is a Canadian investor, you know, who's invested significantly in those areas in the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you, this horror gets worse because to get an eviction order, say it becomes opposed,
yeah,
and you need to cite the city of Johannesburg and all of these other municipalities, etc. If it's opposed, those things can go on for as long as 2 years. Mm. Now, you've got 2 years where you are not collecting rental amounts.
Mm.
You've got 2 years where you have to pay your bonds because you've entered into mortgage agreements with banks. You've got 2 years where you need to pay your rates and taxes to the city. If you're owning in a sectional title, you've got 2 years that you still need to be paying levies.
Mm.
And this person that is not paying your rent for those 2 years, living rent-free, the fact that they can already not afford to pay you 5,000 rand means that the legal cost that you're going to incur, you know, around 100 to 200,000 rand, they won't be able to pay those back. So you can imagine the loss that you are suffering. And that's why investors are trying to stay away from residential investments in South Africa.
No, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. But actually, tell me, I've seen many a times when people just pick up an empty piece of land, and I'm saying empty, not because it's not owned by somebody, perhaps there's somebody who owns that land, but they see it empty, sitting there for a couple of years, but nothing is happening to the land. Yet you probably discover that the owner, on the other hand, is raising funds, perhaps to build some commercial activity in that space, mm-hmm. and boom, you know, there the squatters occupy this place. Surely, this guy should be able to actually evict these people because, I mean, he's raising funds to actually be commercially viable.
Yeah, and look, the law remains at his disposal. He's still subjected to the 2 or so year-long process of trying to evict them. And I mean, once people have occupied a piece of land in their numbers, there's also the politics that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, you know, the investor's safety as well. Sometimes they end up thinking that, look, for my own safety, my family's safety, this investment is no longer an investment. You know, my safety is better. And you've seen a lot of these guys that end up giving up. And they just leave their investments, and these are monies that just dissipate into thin air because, you know, people have gone and are occupied. And I've seen some political parties calling for, you know, the occupation of private land in a haphazard fashion. But these are the far repercussions. And what somebody may not realize is that, you know, this has a knock-on effect in the greater scheme of things on the economy, and then you chase away investors. So on the one end, you might be advocating for things that are chasing investors away, and yet on the other end, as a political leader, you are hosting breakfasts with these investors and telling them, oh, what a great nation we are.
You want them
to invest here. Mm. You know, it becomes hypocritical, and nobody would be interested in putting their monies in such a place. And you found a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of investors that are moving away. All those buildings in the CBD that have been hijacked, they had proper owners at some point in time. They were well managed. They were well taken care of. And those owners have since, you know, they've taken a run.
Goodness.
Because it's just difficult for them to operate in this type of atmosphere.
Oh, it's already depressing just thinking about it. Now, actually, I normally would then see in many instances, because these people would choose a place, there are no services, etc., as you said earlier. And then, boom, government is bringing services. I mean, you see they're bringing electricity, they're bringing water, sanitation, etc. I mean, what informs this? First of all, these guys are here illegally.
Yeah. Government is at some point in time stuck between a rock and a hard place, because remember, they have a constitutional mandate to take care of the people and the citizens and all those wonderful things that are mentioned in the constitution.
Mm.
And government that also, with the amount of corruption that we have in the country, there's not sufficient, at least the resources are squandered, and there's insufficient alternative accommodation where these people can be taken to.
Mm.
And you often find that in those situations where people have now occupied in their thousands, the NGOs and civil society and all of these organizations then come out and say, yes, we see that they occupy illegally and what's or not. But that's for the landowners to deal with. But you as the government must then ensure, you know, that these people are well taken care of and that their basic human rights are met. And sometimes government is also have fingers pointed at them that the reason why we've got this is because you failed to carry out your constitutional mandate insofar as the right to housing is concerned, and ensure that, you know, your Department of Human Settlements has adequate accommodation for everybody. And that's what's resulted in this. So you cannot now turn your eye away and say, because they are illegally occupying, now they must live in undesirable conditions. And also, you know, these people occupy those places in their numbers. Now you are here during election time. Those are the votes that these political parties are looking for. And you will find now these same political parties then going there and abating, you know, whatever illegal conduct is already taking place there, because they are looking to get votes come the 29th of May.
Yeah. Now, in instances where, because I've seen certain instances where, you know, there are red ants, as it were, moving people. This would have followed the process of the court orders, etc.
Yeah. It would have followed the process of a court order. And then at that stage, what happens is that the sheriff in tangent with the South African Police Service and whatever local municipal police, which would be the JMPD in our instance, would then go on, you know, but they are usually outnumbered in certain instances, and that is when the owner must further incur the charges of having the red ants or private security companies to go and assist in facilitating these removals. Let me tell you a story that occurred. This is about 3 or so months ago. I had a client who owned a piece of property that became hijacked. We went for that eviction order. It took us over 2 years to get that eviction order. You only get one opportunity to utilize that same warrant of eviction. Once you evict them, and then they go back immediately thereafter, you must go and start this process again to get another warrant. Crazy, hey?
Sure.
So what happened with this client is, after 2 years, he's obviously now run out of money, and he spent so much on this property. He's been paying the bond. I advised him, get these red ants, get this private security company to secure the property, so that after the police and the sheriff have left, nobody comes back in. He was like, look, unfortunately, I wish I could do that, but my funds have unfortunately depleted. And so we went with the sheriff, we went with the police, we attended to the eviction. He then got one of these big locks and put chains and what's or not. That same evening, they were back. The chain was broken, and they were occupying again. And we had to go and restart that process.
It's disheartening. It's completely disheartening. Well, Ashley, you know what? Depressing conversation, but it is the law nonetheless. It's quite unfortunate. I must thank you, though, for you know, highlighting this. And I don't know. I think property owners have got to do something. But I think another thing that has to happen really is this legislation really has to be revisited, so that.
I agree with you. As an investor, as a lawyer, I'm happy, because then I get people bringing their problems to me and wanting me to solve them, and then I make money from that. But as an investor, as a property investor, trust me, I am equally anxious as well. And you never know, you know, what the next thing your tenant is going to tell you. And I mean, right now, the only precautionary measures and safety mechanisms that one can adopt is to check where you are investing, where you're buying your property. You know, have these expensive estate agents to vet your tenants for you and make sure that you're not contracting with a potential troublemaker. If you have a vacant piece of land, like I said, put fencing up and, you know, have armed guards, which is all costly, you know, because now you never know who's going to go and occupy your piece of land as you try to raise the capital to engage in whatever commercial investments you wish to engage in.
Yeah, quite unfortunate. Ashley Sekel, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Truly, truly a pleasure and a very enlightening conversation. I think that very, very useful piece of information you've given us today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Zama. Keep well, man. Chat soon.
Thank you. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Sure.